welcome everybody to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. Today is February 24th, 2018, and we're here live for the next 2 hours, and we're excited. We got lots going on. So much going on, to be honest with you. I really don't know half of what's going on because it's coming in too quick. So, you know, listen close, hold on tight, because it's going to be a good show. Now, as you know, always, I start my day off with a cup of fresh Joe, and I go to the Hilltop Cefco here in Cameron and get it. You'll see it in the video here, that bright red cup with the black top full of premium fresh coffee. They got some specials going on here. They got a Bud Light 18 pack for almost 18 bucks. It's normally close to 20. So that's a good deal. And the reason I was interested in that was because the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms is what they call it. And we have firearms here on the show. I've had people with cigars on the show. And now we're promoting alcohol. So I think we covered all the bases when it comes to that. Also, if you buy one soda, you can get another 20-ounce soda for a dollar. So that's pretty good. Also, we're simulcasting here on 105.1 KMIL here in Cameron and also in Rockdale at 98.5 KRXT in Rockdale. So check it out, all you Rockdaleonians. Give us a call. The number here is 254-697-6633 or give me an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and go to the website at aaronsgunshop.com. Check out the Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. And go to the YouTube channel, Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel. Lots and lots of videos. Become a subscriber. Make sure you're up to date with all the things that are being placed onto there. Now, we've got a really good show, so let me give you the highlights of what's coming up here. Today, three more true stories of self-defense from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. Let's read and learn what to do and what not to do in situations like these. It's always a good read. In the License to Carry Attorney segment, Attorney Extraordinaire is bringing on a last-minute guest to talk about recovery and extraction of running while on bond. I'm not really sure what that's all about, and I can't wait to listen to it. So he'll have this, I'll just give him the segment, and we'll see what he's going to do with it. Today's topic of interest, we'll go over upcoming events that you can participate at Aaron's. There's always something going on, so get your calendars ready to mark down those special dates. This week's tactical snacking segment with the delicious Janae Goodman will be a two-part tactical snack. Janae got on a roll, not literally, of course, but talking about this week's topic, and it went long since there was so much to talk about. And I think it's going to be superfoods today. Nice haircut, Ross. You lowered your ears today, huh? At 11 o'clock, the voice of law enforcement, retired police chief Randy Dixon, the man of manners, the communicator of common sense, the epitome of encyclopedia, and just an all-around good guy. Randy Dixon is the voice of law enforcement. Today's product spotlight, sponsored by ANC Firearms, is the Glock 19X in 9mm. This pistol is causing a big stir, lots of chatter, and for good reason. Go ahead to aaronsgunshop.com, go to the Facebook page, take a look at the picture of me holding the firearm there. It's a really nice gun, so check it out. I'll be talking all about it in our product spotlight segment. Call ANC Firearms at 254-983-4417 to order yours, because they're going like crazy. My special guest today is our very own legal immigrant, Zoltan Varga. And Zoli is going to be telling us about Russian snipers and the use of the Mosin rifle to do it with. That should be very interesting. A few weeks ago, we talked about the Mosin rifle. And they actually had an article in the American Rifleman this month, just by chance, about snipers. And I saw that article after I had asked Zoli to come on and talk about it. So it's all coincidental, and it should work out just fine. And finally, to close the show, will be Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Ms. Key will give us words of wisdom on how to stay safe. So check it out. Now, let's get the show in full swing, and we're going to get started with our true stories from the American Rifleman's The Armed Citizens column. And the first story goes as follows, and this is from the March issue. Even something as simple as walking a dog can put a person in harm's way, but a Michigan woman was able to withstand a recent threat because she had a gun. While the woman was taking her dog for a walk, for her nightly walk, a stranger came up from behind and grabbed her. The armed citizen responded by pressing her handgun against the alleged assailant's gut. The pet owner had been in heightened state of awareness because she had earlier noticed a black van with no windows idling on the side of the street ahead of her. She then caught sight of a man getting out of the vehicle and strolling parallel to her as she walked her dog. The uneasiness of the situation prompted her to grip her gun while it was still in her jacket pocket. When the man later took hold of her coat, she drew her gun, pushed it into his stomach, and reportedly said, "I don't want to kill you." The thug scurried off. Woo! Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, but I'm extremely turned on by this story. I mean, you can't get any better than this. She acknowledged it was a threat. That's why she carries a gun. She's aware of her surroundings, the black van. And although she couldn't avoid the situation, she dealt with it like a pro. Remember the three A's. Acknowledge as a threat, be aware of your surroundings, and avoid it, if at all possible. Story number two. Georgia authorities named a 68-year-old business owner an honorary deputy for his heroism during an armed robbery. The businessman was closing his shop for the day when two young thieves burst through the door. They demanded his money, then one struck him in the face for good measure. Although the store owner was dazed, he grabbed a shotgun and fired, striking both suspects. Both teens were hospitalized and have since been taken into custody and charged in connection with the robbery. The Burke County Sheriff's Officer later recognized the victim, presenting him with the honorary deputy title and badge. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, you ever watch those instant karma videos on YouTube? Striking the victim on the face for good measure got the thieves an instant karma payment of a 12-gauge buckshot. Great story. And story number three. Firearms can be an equalizer for the old and the outnumbered, as recent defensive shooting in Pennsylvania illustrates. An 84-year-old Korean veteran makes it a habit to sleep with a gun under his pillow so he can quickly retrieve it if he's threatened. The practice worked to his advantage in early December when two men conducted a late-night break-in at his home. The resident was awakened by the sound of suspects bursting through the front door. When an assailant tried to grab him, the veteran fired, killing one of the intruders. A tussle with the other ensued, with the gun being knocked out of the armed citizen's hand, and the bad guy fled before the owner could retrieve his handgun. My commentary. Ladies and gentlemen, know your enemy. To the intruders, the homeowner is the enemy. They obviously didn't do their homework. A Korean vet with a gun under his pillow is one of the last people I would mess with. True stories, live and learn, take your notes, all great stuff. And that comes from the American Rifleman's Armed Citizens column. Now, I know you're probably waiting in bated breath as to whether or not Matt's got his opinion piece for this week. Well, I'm not going to let you down. I do have an opinion piece, and I think you're going to like it. You know, we got the Olympics going on, right? So I figured I'd put a little bit of Olympics into the opinion piece this week, and it's titled Shot Placement versus Shot Put. Ha-ha. Ladies and gentlemen, we all know what shot placement is, but do we all know what a shot put is? Well, let me tell you in case some of our listening audience doesn't know. The shot put is an athletic throwing event involving putting a heavy metal ball as far as possible. Let me read that again with a little bit more detail. The shot put is an athletics, track and field, throwing event involving throwing in a pushing motion, a heavy metal ball called the shot as far as possible. In the English language, it is common to use the term shot put to refer to both the shot itself and the throwing motion. It takes lots of time and dedication to become a good shot putter. Some of the exercises needed to achieve some level of success are squats, bench press, deadlifts, and many more exercises, I'm sure. One of the biggest elements of discipline to becoming a good shot putter is the dedicating time to the sport. Day after day, week after week, month after month, the athlete must dedicate time to this sport. Proper food, enough sleep, learning techniques, and anything else that may give this athlete the edge above his opponent. Then, after all the training, all the missed nights out with his friends, staying on strict diets, the workouts, etc., that special day comes, the day of the competition. It all boils down to just a few minutes, the work, the effort to try and win the medal or trophy. That trophy, by the way, is made of some cheap alloy, not real bronze, silver, or gold. The athlete's name may be put on a wall plaque or in the record books, only to be forgotten as the years go by. It doesn't matter, though, because that's what the athlete was driven to do, with a desire to win a title, a position, a ranking of excellence. Ladies and gentlemen, why isn't your attitude the same? I'm talking to all of you who wish to carry or use a firearm for self-defense. The majority of you race to class so you can get your license. Many of you ask, how long is the class? Do I have to shoot a qualifying course? Can I apply for a license through another state so I don't have to take a class? What's wrong with you people who think like that? The shot putter trains just to throw a heavy ball far. You're training to shoot a gun at a human being or an animal. Your mindset of training should outdo that of the shot putter by a universe or two. Screw up with a shot put and you practice some more. Screw up with a gunshot and you may go to jail. The possession of a firearm for self-defense is not a joke. It's not a fad. It's not a fancy. It's a mindset. A mindset of responsibility. But like I said before, many of us seem to have our mindset up our backsides. Get with the program and get your mindset right. Because throwing a shot is not even in the same league as taking the shot. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break. And when we come back on the other side, we're going to have the awesome attorney extraordinaire, Benton Ross Watson, and we'll see what he's got up his sleeve here. See you on the other side. This segment of Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio program is being brought to you by Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, LLC. Have you been arrested? Are you in jail and want to get out? Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds at 254-697-6035. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds accepts credit cards and debit cards. Call-ins are also accepted. Conduct your business privately in the Twin Pistol Bail Bonds offices, which are located directly across from the Milam County Sheriff's Office at 707 West 4th Street in Cameron. You're in jail and you want to get out. Let Twin Pistol Bail Bonds help. Call Twin Pistol Bail Bonds now at 254-697-6035 and ask for Dustin Thomas or Lisa Roden. Twin Pistol Bail Bonds, 254-697-6035. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron focuses on cases involving personal injury litigation, including asbestos exposure and mesothelioma. At Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm, you are never treated like a number. Cases are accepted on a contingency basis, so clients do not have to pay out of their pocket. Contact Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron today. Call 888-MESO-FIRM.
Hi, Captain Mitchell Radio Program. Again, it's February 24th, 2018. And to my left is attorney extraordinaire Benton Ross Watson. Ross, welcome again to the show. Get your mic ready, buddy.
Oh, How you doing, man?
I'm happy to be here.
I noticed the haircut. I just got mine cut, too.
Yeah,
looks good,
I'm feeling very militant.
You know, not you. Hey, look, I first promoted in the show highlights, because we were discussing via text, that you may have brought a guest on, but that didn't work out. Something happened. So we're going to go back to our fallback plan, and that was, I had mentioned if you could talk about attorney's fees and court costs and bonds and what are they called, how much they cost, does the court make profits from this, agents of the court, attorneys, judges, officers. And my basic bottom line was it's not very cost effective once you pull the trigger. You better pull the trigger only when you think it's absolutely necessary, because you're going to be faced with a lot of these charges. So let me give you the court. It's all yours, and guide us in a direction that everybody was just going to love.
I mean, so this is kind of, like I said, I got a twist to this thing. It kind of is a sore subject for part of the way, because people come in. I'm just speaking as a, maybe going back to being a first or second year attorney, and you tell people, like, your fee is $1,500, right? And they look at you like, that's ridiculous. You're crazy. I'm not paying you that. And I just think, like, people don't understand.
They're ignorant, yeah.
Don't understand what it costs to be in this business. And I start with the fact that, you know, there's a book by John Grisham. He just came out. It's called The Rooster Bar. And it's about the great law school scandal. Okay, and so I went to be a trial lawyer. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a trial lawyer. I wanted to represent the people. I wanted to stand for the people. Over proliferation of regulation, I wanted to fight for constitutional rights, which we talk about are basically useless today. And
I feel good now.
And but these are the things I wanted to do. And, you know, they tell you, well, if you do good and you really work hard and you're there at school, you're going to get, you know, you're in the top 15%, you're going to get $150,000 job. That's what they tell you. Okay, going in, well, I'm in the top 15%, and I mean, I told you I turned down some jobs, so I told you a little bit of that is my fault, but those jobs certainly weren't knocking down the door for me like they used to be, and that's because the market is overflooded, it's overcrowded, it's saturated.
I understand your problem. I can do that the same way with guns, but go ahead. It thins it out, and everybody's going to lose.
And so there's way too much competition, and I had a great prominent lawyer, one of the greatest trial lawyers in the state of Texas. It's just not what it used to be. It's more about marketing. A lot of these guys don't even know what they're doing in a courtroom. They don't really know the law. They don't really care. It's more about marketing and seeing what they can do with the bottom dollar. And then as a new attorney, you know, how are you going to compete with the folks that are paying Google? Right ahead of you, how are you going to pay to get that many clicks when they're already so established that it costs you? And I realize that all businesses have these problems, but the legal community is very unique in the business model, and it is that you're basically essentially selling yourself, and you're selling services which are not accustomed to anything. I mean, they have problems making client management software for lawyers, because the regular business models just don't work. There are just too many variables involved. How much should we talk about here that our representation is all based on the facts of the case? Mm-hmm. I mean, you change one little bitty detail, all of a sudden, you know, you go from a, you know, not guilty to life or 99. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so when you look at that, and then the exponential growth of law schools and people still coming in the market. You look at the Texas population, which is about 27,000 people, 27 million people. And when you break this down to active lawyers, it comes out to about 87,000 lawyers. That comes out to about 31 lawyers per 10,000. Okay, well, you take that, you know, 71% of that, you know, is not going to be
right, not needing
adults, right? They're going to be children. Okay, so then you gotta take that number off of there. And long story short, you're getting down to about 299 people at best per lawyer. And so when you talk about, well, if I was able to, and then you got people below the poverty marker, right? So those people aren't going to be able to pay. So let's just take 5% off of that. We're probably at around, what, 250, 225? So assuming that I could actually market and sell a product okay, to 250 people, okay, at $1,500 a pop, I guess I can make a pretty good living. It probably comes out to what, about roughly $400,000 a year. Okay, that's assuming that I can market to that many people. I can get 250 clients paying me $1,500, mm-hmm, okay,
just for basic service.
Basic service, okay. And so you look at that. Well, people understand. I have a secretary. I have an office building. I have, you got to pay for your legal research engines, right? Because we've talked about how ambiguous the legislature is,
yep,
right? Then I've got licensing requirements I have to pay for. I have state bar fees. I have electricity, gosh, and water and utilities in Cameron, Texas.
That's just your office.
Yes, this is just my office. And so just to run my office, and this is my projection for 2017, I'm not saying it, and this only includes my fixed costs. This only includes costs that I can see every month coming out, and I know from past 3 years I'm going to spend about this much, right? I know at least this much here. I know it's going to be at least this much. It comes out to about $124,000 a year, okay, just to run the office alone. And you say, well, you can work from home. Name a lawyer that you want to hire.
Yeah, right.
That you go to their apartment complex and you sit in their one bedroom efficiency with their couch and their potato chips.
You know, I could see
sitting on the table.
I could see if you were like a famous attorney to that point, say, I don't need no freaking office. But you know, in reality, you got to be professional. You got to have your office because somebody's going to want to go. Just like you just said, who's going to want to go to somebody in an apartment complex when my life's on the line? You know,
exactly. So that's what I'm saying. Nope, nobody. Right, and I sure wouldn't, you know, and then being in a small town too, I'll get to that. I'm gonna stay with the numbers right now. So it's gonna cost me roughly $124,000, right, to run my office. That's on fixed costs alone, and remember that includes property taxes, business taxes, water, utility, my licensing fees, my marketing, my consultant fees that I have to pay to other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be the legal research engine websites. Now I have a pretty good research engine, but you know what? It's only cost me about another $150 and a month. And the judges love me because I go in there and I know that my law is correct. Right, because I pay for this, and I appreciate, right, having credibility with the judges, and I think my clients would appreciate me having credibility with the judges too, because I only know one time that I told Judge Youngblood here in Cameron something completely wrong, okay, and I was just only trying to make a point at that, and I don't, you know, the judges know that I'm going to come with good law, with good arguments, with sound credibility, okay, so to me that's worth it, and so. For those things, it costs a little bit more than otherwise. But that's, like I said, it's going to be $124,000. Then you got living expenses. Let's use a modest number for all living expenses. And I don't even have a truck payment, okay? I paid that off while I worked in law school, okay? And so that's going to be what, let's say, low number, $25,000 a year. Does that seem reasonable to you?
That's low, yeah.
Okay, so what, $150,000. Now, we got the law school loans, right? So the average law school loan that people graduate with, it ranges from $48,000 to $340,000, by the way, from people graduating.
I want to be clear on something. You're not complaining. You're just explaining the facts of the situation.
Well, I'm complaining about other people complaining.
No, I know. I'm going to get that point. But you're not complaining.
I love my job.
That's just the necessity. Those are the things that are necessary to exist the way you are living your life as an attorney and all that kind of stuff. So as we start talking about the people who come to you, they got to realize this. But you're not complaining. You're breaking it down for those who are complaining.
Exactly.
About the price.
Exactly.
And look, I come from a family of attorneys. I get it. I dig what you're saying. I know it. So keep going.
Okay. And so let's say the law school loan is $200,000. That's what I come out with. What is the interest rate at 8%, because they range from 6% to 12%. So let's just say 8%, okay? 8% on that loan is $15,000 a year, probably something like that. I think it's a little over 15. I don't have a calculator. I should have brought one, but it's probably about $15,000 a year. Okay, so I'm going to have to pay that off. So if I was able to market to like 250 people, assuming I was able to do that, right, I'm making a pretty good living. But in actuality, not all those people need services, and there are so many other attorneys.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And then you have people over age 65 that are already going to be established. You have people, and realistically, probably on a good year, I see 75 people a year. Okay, and so you add that up, and if it's $1,500 fee, I'm already in the red like $28,000. I'm in the red $28,000 with a $1,500 fee.
Mm-hmm.
You do the you can add it up. You can take these numbers. You're going to end up about 20-something thousand.
Yeah, I'm tracking
in the red.
I got you.
So, and then I go and I have my truck, right? And my key fob is out, okay? And so it's the only key fob I've got. They didn't give me a second one. They said they did, but they didn't give me a second one. Okay, so I call down there, and that's not the you know, Starnes. It's not Starnes' fault in Rockdale. I understand. It's the manufacturer. Well, then they're going to have to come tow my truck down there. They're going to have to come tow my truck down there. Then I'm going to have to pay for the file. It was going to be like $1,500 for a key. For a key. Now, I realize the utility of a vehicle, you use it every day, right? That's a necessity nowadays, okay? But the fact is, I'm keeping you out of jail for a long time, okay? I'm helping you get your life back. I'm fighting for you, right? What's going to take the Miller Starnes Dodge, you know, company maybe an hour or two is going to take me, oh, I would say, because I'm a fighter, and you know that it's probably I'm probably going to spend 20-something hours on your case.
Mm-hmm. And that's the truth, man. I can tell in your spirit you're a fighter.
And so, when you look at that, is the key, am I not even worth as much as a key?
It's like I said, though, that word I said, ignorant. And it's not a bad word. It's a lack of knowledge. People, I don't think, realize what it takes for you to do your job. Now, there's a difference, too. You'll have attorneys, like you said, who do it just for the marketing. They understand the business aspect of it, and they want to make a buck. You are truly driven. I can see the spirit in you, driven to want to fight for what's right. So here you are spending your life, you know, behind the books, studying and behind the computer, the whole works, to get somebody and keep somebody out of jail.
And then as far as like estate planning, like I'm going to save you thousands of dollars from the IRS. I'm going to help you do a business plan. I'm going to help you do project models. I'm going to help you put things in trust or a will so that your family doesn't spend a lot more money later. I'm going to help you maybe avoid Medicaid that could take your homestead property.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's thousands of dollars, and I'm going to help you do that, and you're not willing to pay me but a $1,500. And to me, it's for some of us, it's offensive when they come in there and they're not expecting to pay, but you know, I'm self-employed. I was talking to a guy actually this morning. He's a great friend of mine, Howard Huffstutler, big time PI, does all kinds of stuff down in Houston. If you're listening, Howard, I love you. I appreciate it. All the
hey, I got people listening in Saudi Arabia. Isn't that cool?
Oh, that's awesome, dude. I mean, we got friends everywhere.
Yeah.
See, and so I mean, these things are things that business owners do face. But like I said, it's a very unique model from the perspective of legal services. And so yes. When you come in and you have a first degree felony, and I say it's going to be a $5,000 fee, right? Don't look at me like I'm crazy, because if you go to some other attorney and they're going to take a first degree felony case for $1,500, right? They're taking way too many cases to give your case the time of day. You know, and we didn't even go into the number. I was going to go into the numbers, calculating hours. If I had 299 people, mm-hmm. how many hours a year?
No, I'm saying,
and
how so do you do that?
You couldn't. You, there's no way to do it.
To be honest with you, because I do check out business a lot, you are very unproductive with one person. I don't mean that disrespect. What I'm saying is you can only do so much.
Exactly.
So what you just said about the $1,500, they're taking a lot of cases, but they're not applying their expertise truly the way they're supposed to each individual. Whereas you... you're limited on the number of people that you bring in because you're giving all that extra time. But you're not a very good, productive individual because there's only one of you.
And so like, if I spend all my time, people want to talk all the time. They want free advice. They want to keep talking. If I spend all my time talking to people on the phone, right, I'm never going to get anything else done. If I try to do my marketing, my website, my the phone book ads, take calls, take the messages, make sure that I'm keeping up with the account. If I'm doing all that, right, when else am I going to have time?
That's right.
To work on your case. And so it's essential that I have some kind of assistant. And people aren't, well.
And here's another thing, too. The time you put towards a client, I guarantee, correct me if I'm wrong, eats away at your personal life too. It's not it's not like a 8-to-5 job Monday through Friday. I bet you there's some nights, Saturday and Sunday nights, you're working in the wee hours of the morning, right?
Well, we talked about being self-employed. I mean, probably sleep less than most people. The thing is with an assistant there, I'm able to actually work on your case and give everything that I've got. But we also talk about from a criminal law standpoint, and I would love Rick to be here because Rick would tell you, like, how many cases, because, you know, these are on contingency fee for him.
I'd like to do that, coordinate with him, and we'll get him on here.
And I do personal injury cases too. Mine are more personal, privacy, civil rights oriented. I do work on some kinds of personal injury cases. Rick brings me in sometimes to help with litigation. But the thing is with Rick is he'll tell you he pays a bunch of money up front on a lot of cases that don't pan out. Okay, and he advances. And Rick truly cares about people.
Can I ask you a sidebar really question?
Yeah, go ahead.
For my clarification, what's the difference between you and a firm? I know a firm has more attorneys, but are they all working on one case together at the same time? Or is it just because...
Not necessarily, it can be. I mean, technically, I have a firm. Watson Legal PC is a professional legal corporation, so I'm a firm, I guess, in what you would call it. But I would say that a firm is more than one lawyer.
Okay,
so
that was just cyber.
I'm just saying, I was to argue about. I mean, there are some, you know, in Houston, they would define a firm to be.
I thought
one
it'd
thing,
be like all more multiple heads are thinking about the same topic to come up with even a better solution or something. That's what I was wondering. But
that's what I mean. But you also have firms that you have. Different think tanks. You may have two or three. Like you got the big Jaworski in Houston. I mean, they have people in every single sector. But yeah, that one sector, you got all people focused on one.
Get back
case.
To what you're saying.
So I mean, from a criminal law standpoint, you know, so when Rick would say when you get the big case, you need to make sure you get paid because. There may not be another one come in that can sustain you.
Right, right.
Right? And he does good work. You know, he helps these people. And sometimes he don't get paid for it. Okay? And, I mean, I can test it. Obviously, I can't talk about the case. But I can say that I've worked with him when we didn't.
No, he's extremely thorough.
Okay?
Man.
So, from a criminal law standpoint, let's talk about this. Because this is another irritation. And it's government-based. And how much time we got?
Yeah, we're good.
Okay. When you talk about bonds, right? Let's say somebody goes and gets arrested. Normally, the normal bond fee is going to be 10%. So the big cases that's going to make me money are the big ones, and I don't like taking possession of marijuana cases. I'm not going to spend my time. You're not going to pay me $1,500 for a possession of marijuana case, at least most people won't, unless they're a doctor or something. They need to get it dismissed. And so I'm not going to waste my time with those people. The bonds on those will be $10,000. So those cases are not a big deal. It's the felony cases that really are going to bring in my money and are the ones that are fun to work on for me. Okay, and so let's say you got a $150,000 bond. 10% is going to be $15,000. Okay, well, now how are they going to pay their lawyer?
Mm-hmm.
So you pay 10% on a $150,000 bond, you're going to have to dish out $15,000 to the bondsman.
Yeah, no, but in my initial attitude is if the person is legitimately a crook or a criminal or whatever, and they're trying to get off of it, that's your problem. If you got somebody who has been put in a position...
Well, I understand that, but I have to get paid, man.
No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying it's their problem. They gotta cough up the money. And I'm just saying, if somebody who's in a position that needs your services, and it's legitimately they're not guilty, they still got to pay it, but it's more of an emotional thing. Hey, everybody, let's chip in and help. But if somebody's going to gripe about your fee and they're the ones that are guilty and they just want to get off through a loophole in the system, well, screw it, man, they got to pay you.
No, I get that, but you know, I mean, I don't even dispute that $15,000 right up front is going to be hard for most people to come up with, right? And it's going to be hard to even get a payday loan when you're talking, unless you've got somebody that's got a substantial amount of money and they're wealthy.
No, what I'm trying to get at was...
Your average person is
they
not...
They shouldn't have an attitude if you don't want to take the case because you're kind of wondering, hey, how are you going to pay me?
Well, I get that. That's what I was saying. A lot of people get this attitude and I'm just like, well, hey, you can... There's the door.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I, you know, a lot of people either love me or they hate me because I tell them the truth. If you don't like it, leave. Okay? And...
That's what they do in my gun shop. They say, man, I can get that gun $50 cheaper at this place. I think go buy it then. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly.
What am I going to do?
Why are you wasting my time?
That's right.
Okay? And so let's say that they're not bitter about it. They want to pay me the $5,000-$10,000, okay? And so they come in, they just don't have the money. It's just not there. And then so we're trying to do a payment plan. Well, I don't want to do that. So how am I gonna get paid? You know, as soon as they get the deal done, it's gonna be done. I mean, even a good person that has, you know, reasonable morals, once their case is through,
it's harder to pay.
They're not gonna want to pay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even want to pay. I think I would, but I wouldn't want to. And so you think about somebody that doesn't have the money to do it. Right? And then how am I going to collect? They don't have anything. Right? The average person has a house that's exempt property. It's homestead. They got one car. That's exempt. They got home furnishings. Maybe some jewelry with their wife. That's exempt too. There's nothing I can do. Okay? And so the bonds take away from, you know, the attorney's fees. And the bonds play an important role. So I'm not trying to knock them. But I am going to say, like, it is difficult, right, to make money. And that's why people say we're shady. No, we're shrewd, because we have to be, or we won't make it.
That's right. I get
we
it.
Absolutely will not make it in this business if we just nonchalant with the money and spend. You will not.
Attorneys are a necessity of life. You must have them in this day and age. It costs a certain amount of money because it costs you a certain amount of money. And if you flipped it around, every person is going to want to get into something and still have and pay their bills and have money to enjoy themselves. You're no different. I mean, you're here providing a service. You got to pay your bills and you got to live.
I want to get two more points out. So, sticking with the criminal, I want to point out, like, so in a lot of counties, and Judge Youngblood, this is not a shot at any of the courts around here. Judge Youngblood's a great judge. I've always said that. And Judge Stem and JT Elliott and Judge Barkemeyer, everybody around here is fine, but here, the one problem that I disagree with is it's called a monopsony. Not a monopoly, but a monopsony.
What's that?
And it's when, basically, for a quick way to say it, when demand far outweighs the supply, okay? And so, as far as legal services are concerned, and what I mean by that is, court appointments here can't make anything. Like, I've talked about, we have what, maybe one person on the court appointed list in this county? And then everybody, we have 20-something people coming from out of county.
Explain court-appointed.
Court-appointed is for people that can't afford it. Indigent people we talked about below the poverty level that don't have enough
income. You cannot
afford
one, the court will provide you
with one. Okay, and so a lot of attorneys, these are important because they supplement, right? These help supplement and get us through the really tough times until we get the bigger case that we can pay our bills with. Okay, and these just help pay the bills, and then the other ones help pay the bigger bills and get us through. So with this happening, right, we have a bunch of attorneys on the court appointed list, and there's just not enough people, right, that they get. So the court's appointing all these 20 people from out of county, and they're taking money out of county, and it's not worth it to me to go work super hard on a case and get paid $250. Okay, and so this is why we have problems with the indigent defense, because you don't have attorneys getting paid enough, and they're only getting paid $250, you know, per plea, mm-hmm. right? How many guys do they have to take? And you got guys coming from Austin, Temple, Bryan, College Station, all around here. So they're going all around. They're wasting all this time.
Okay, let me ask some, because time is starting to run out. You broke down attorney's fees very nicely. Now you're talking about the court. Why don't you give everybody an idea what some of those court costs are? I'm assuming part of it is to pay for these attorneys, court-appointed attorneys, but what would be some other court costs? Because a lot of people have this idea of court costs is just a way to rake in money. I don't know. It could be. There could be a profit for it, or it literally just pays, every penny of it pays to pay the service that's being applied to in the court. So break that down real quick.
Well, so if you know, court costs are going to be between like $250 and $500. It kind of depends on what you get charged with. Court costs really aren't that much. What you're going to see is, though, is in poor counties like Milam County, when Luminant and Alcoa go out of business and the county's trying to make their money back, and I'm not knocking the district attorney's office or anybody for doing this. It's sound policy to try to go after the money when that's really what this makes this county better, okay? And that's what helps us make it up. And is there's a whole nother basis. I mean, it'll take me forever. There's a whole nother theory. I think I've already said Bill Torrey in that regard is a genius, okay, as far as putting people on deferred adjudication, but we don't have time to go into it. But the fines are going to be between, like, you know, $1,500 and $3,500. Okay, and then if you have restitution in a case, that could be as much damage as you cause a person. So their medical bills, for instance. And the state unlike a regular civil case, is not limited. There can be a double recovery. In other words, like let's say the insurance company pays the victim. Okay? There's good case law and there's good interpretation that the state can still come after you for the full amount to recompensate the victim. Okay?
Oh, okay.
And so the victim can actually get a double recovery.
But doesn't that involve
they don't usually do that.
Costs and attorney fees? Doesn't that keep building up? If they get it, now you got to go through court again to get that money?
Exactly. And so, and then we're talking about, too, like probation. Like if you get on probation, you got to make sure you pay those fees or you're going to get your probation revoked. A lot of times my biggest problem is not whether somebody comply with the terms of reporting and staying clean, although it is a lot of times.
What is an actual probation fee? What is that paying?
You're going to pay $60 a month for probation.
But what's it going to?
You're going to pay $60 a month to the probation department. You're going to pay $25 to the Crime Stoppers division. You're going to pay $25 to $75 to the crime victims.
Is it basically saying, look, if you want to stay out, you got to pay us some money?
They're going to fee you to death, right, on probation, period. You're going to have to take an anger management class or some kind of stupid substance abuse class, and that's going to cost you $150.
You
could lose your license on most cases. You're going to have to take a class to get your license back. That's going to be $150.
They should teach this in school, man, in grade school. Don't do this stuff. It's going to cost you a lot of money.
Right.
And the more we talk on the radio, the more we're hurting your bottom line, aren't we? Trying to make people wise and not to do stupid stuff.
Hey, that's one of the phrases, stupid people make me money. That's I don't mind saying it.
But what about this, man? You've heard this term, agents of the court, attorneys, judges, and officers, agents of the court. Are they sales agents or are they just a agent?
No comment.
No comment, all right. So what we're getting at is, how much time I got, Trey? Here it comes. Give me about a minute. Why is up here? Because the initial reaction was what we always try to do here in this segment is to make people aware so that they have a working knowledge, they're not ignorant of situations, and they can apply it to their everyday life to make their lives better.
If you do something stupid, you better be ready to pay for it. And you better be ready to pay for it because you want an attorney that's going to work for you. I don't want to work for free. And if you're not paying me enough, I'm not going to want to work. That's the bottom line. And so don't come in there, especially if you did anything. You may not have done what you're accused of, but if you did something stupid, right, do not come in there and complain about you having to pay me. Right? That's going to what make me want to represent you either. Okay? The other thing is even if you're not, it's not a crime. Like, I love doing estate planning, business planning, so that's my favorite thing to do. Pay me because I'm going to work for you. And I'm going to save you the money. I'm going to make it pay off in the long run.
You know, you might want to post this on your website, this link, when I get this YouTube up there and say, look, before you take my services, watch this. And if you like what you hear after this, come on into my office. Okay. As always, I want to thank Coppolino Dodd, Krebs Law Firm, Rick Dodd, especially for sponsoring the segment. And Ross, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you.
So, yeah, my primary office location is here in Cameron, 105 East Main Street. Big milk cow on the side. Can't miss it. Or just ask anybody in town. Everybody knows me.
They all point.
If you want to schedule an appointment in Houston or Bryan College Station, you got to give me a call. And you can give me a call at 254-605-4140. That's 254-605-4140. Or email me at benton@watson.legal. That's benton@watson.legal. Man, it's always a pleasure. It's fun time to be here.
It was a very informative segment. Thanks a lot, Ross. Right. Appreciate it. All right, Trey, take us out. We'll be back on the other side.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yacht equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Bald Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop it at 408 West Bank. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and zero-turn big dog mowers. Power through the summer with Cameron's Bald Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bank.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Program. What time is it here? 10:50 on February 24, 2018. That was a good segment, man. It's really important for people to know and understand that there's a lot of things involved when it comes to getting an attorney. Nobody wants an attorney because it's very expensive, but it's a necessity in life a lot of the time. So you got to be prepared and understand why it's expensive. Now, look, in our topic of interest segment here, got a lot going on. March 2nd's coming up. That's the first Friday of every month. That's our two for night. So if you're coming to the range to shoot and you bring a guest, the guest has free range time that night. So bring a guest. March 9th, the second Friday, is our third annual law enforcement benefit shoot-off. As I figured, it's starting to heat up. I've got DPS calling me. I've got the SO chattering. I've got local police departments chattering. They're all starting to, you know, talk smack. We've got the third annual law enforcement benefit shoot-off, and it's basically just like a round-robin competition that I always talk to you about, and that's basically teams. Instead of it being an individual event, teams of five are going to shoot for their department of choice. And the winning team gets to get the gifts and the proceeds and actually give it to the department that they're shooting for. Along with it comes the rotating trophy that shows that team won and the department. Let's say last year my team shot for the SO. We're going to be doing it again this year, and they got to hold on to the trophy for the last year and get to show it off with pride. And whoever wins it this time will get to keep the trophy in their location. And SO, I'm going to be working hard to have you guys keep that trophy. Now, you can contact me via email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Give us a call at the shop number, 254-697-4721. Go to the Aaron's Gun Shop YouTube channel and check out last year's law enforcement benefit shoot-off, a couple of clips of that and how it works so you can get an idea. You do not have to wear a badge to be a team member. I'm actually hoping that you don't have a badge and you're supporting law enforcement or the military or whatever as compared to them dishing out the money trying to win the competition. I want people who appreciate and support their local law enforcement or military and shoot for them, but those who have a badge, you're more than welcome to get your own teams up. just talking to DPS too, and we're talking smack, so hopefully they'll get their team going. Now, March 10th, I've got a license to carry class just popped up. So go to aaronsgunshop.com. You can sign up there. Give me a call. Give me an email. March 16th is ladies' night. So man or woman, if you're with a woman, you know, she gets to shoot for free. If you're both women, figure out who's the woman and come on, and she gets to shoot for free. Seminars. I've had people calling me about extra training. Gee, I wonder why, because we have another mass shooting. What's it going to take for everybody to say, I should be trained before the next mass shooting? Hopefully there won't be one, but the more people there are, and I'll tell you what, next week we're going to have a long discussion about this, and we're going to go over a lot of details, and it's going to get heated debate, I'm sure, so be prepared for that one. But seminars, we've got things we can train you for, how to defend your home, how to defend yourself, and all sorts of other good things. Now, we've got the delicious Janae Goodman coming up for her this week's tactical snacking segment. Now, Janae and I talk a lot on, you know, we text to each other saying, hey, what are you going to be talking about this week and so forth. And she texts me back and said, Matt, I got a hot topic this time and I just kept going over, so we're going to break it up into two parts. And she's going to be talking about superstar side foods that use superfoods such as roasted rutabaga and winter salad, pomegranates, and so forth. So I really don't know. She's the genius when it comes to this, so I'm looking forward to listening to it. Trey, you got her all squared away and set up?
Already.
Okay, so let's roll with Janae Goodman, Tactical Snacking, and now the delicious Janae Goodman.
Hello, my lovelies. Here I am, dishing up your weekly serving of information. Today, I want to give you the scoop on some superfoods and help you with some side dish ideas to add to your next spread. I'm Janae Goodman, and this is Tactical Snacking. What the heck is a superfood anyway? No, they don't exactly have superpowers, so to speak. These foods are nutrient-packed with plenty of vitamins and minerals that keep you strong, healthy, and in tip-top shape. That means that you get much more than what you bargain for. Turnips, for instance, are high in vitamin C, which promotes body healing and bone and tooth strength. Potassium, which helps regulate blood pressure and muscle health. Folate, better known as folic acid, which maintains red blood cells, and fiber, which helps lower your cholesterol and blood sugar levels. It even has an added bonus of helping you with weight management. So the next time you opt for mashed potatoes, replace half of your potatoes with turnips. They can be boiled or steamed and mixed in with butter, salt, and cream when you're finished. Turnip greens are edible as well. They can be cleaned, cut, and sautéed with olive oil, salt, and pepper to taste. Root for rutabagas. This vegetable is a cross between a cabbage and a turnip. They're high in potassium, rich in fiber, and vitamin C. This hybrid veggie also contains magnesium and vitamin B6, which means a mood boost and a healthy brain and nervous system for you. Peel and roast this starchy root vegetable along with chopped carrots, onions, herbs of your choice, olive oil, and of course salt and pepper. Roast at 375 degrees for about 20 minutes or until they're lightly browned and fork tender. Sweet potatoes are packed with vitamin A, giving you almost twice the daily recommended intake for just a 4-ounce serving. Golly! Not to mention that they have vitamins and minerals that promote bone, blood vessel, and heart health. A scoop of sweet potatoes encourages brain function as well. Perhaps a serving of roasted sweet potatoes or sweet potato fries will help you with your daily focus. You'll be sure to keep this fruit in the palm of your hand when you hear about the great benefits it offers. Pomegranates offer up vitamin C, potassium, fiber, and antioxidants. If you're looking for a new spin on salsa, give pomegranate mango salsa a try. All you need is a cup of pomegranate seeds, one diced ripe mango, the zest and the lime juice of one lime, half a bunch of cilantro, half a teaspoon of salt, 1/4 teaspoon of cracked pepper, 1/4 diced onion, and a minced jalapeno. Seeded, please. This refreshing salsa is sure to brighten your day. Try it along with fish tacos or tortilla chips. The juicy seeds are also great when paired with kale or spinach-based salads. Toss in some apple slices and walnuts while you're at it. Apples contain vitamin C and natural disease-fighting chemicals called the phytonutrients. A medium apple has 4 grams of fiber, too. That helps you lower your cholesterol and may help you with weight loss. Walnuts can help improve heart function and health, as well as bone health. They may also help you control diabetes, ward off cancer, regulate your sleep schedule, and improve your metabolism. And thanks to their omega-3 fatty acid content, Walnuts are also a natural mood booster. Cauliflower contains folate, antioxidants, or disease fighters, and has anti-inflammatory properties. 1 cup of chopped cauliflower has just under 30 calories and 85% of your recommended daily vitamin C intake. Many people choose to make cauliflower rice, which you can do by pulsing chopped cauliflower heads into a food processor until it resembles coarse crumbs. You can then saute your cauliflower rice with olive oil, salt, and pepper, or heat it in a loosely covered, microwave-safe bowl for about 4 minutes or until it's tender. Personally, I love roasting cut cauliflower in a 400-degree oven after coating it in oil, salt, and pepper. It only takes about 15 to 20 minutes, too. Be sure to join me next week to tackle some additional superstar sides. I'll be giving you the skinny on Brussels sprouts, turnips, and pears. Oh, my! As always, be sure to shoot me an email if you have any questions, and you can reach me at tacticalsnacking@yahoo.com. Until next time, stay hungry, my friends.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. It is now time for the master of manners, the communicator of common sense, and the epitome of encyclopedia, Officer Randy Dixon, the voice of law enforcement.
And go.
Ooh, good morning. Top of the morning to everybody. Hope you're having a great Saturday this morning. Here where I'm at, the sun's starting to come out. It's going to be a great weekend. That roller coaster ride we had of rain and no rain and then fog. Oh, yesterday was horrible. Hope you didn't have to drive very far. Well, today, folks, we're going to talk about something that's going to be, I hope, near and dear to all of your hearts. It's about your kids and about protecting your kids. And then I'm going to do a little commentary at the end, and I hope I don't rub any feathers. Now, first of all, if you notice, my voice is much better this week. And I apologize again for last week. I had a good old sinus infection, but to the wonders of modern medicine, it's over and cured. But anyhow, over the last few weeks, the national news has been spotlighted with incidents that have been besetting young people or children. You know, it's a tragedy that we hear so much about injuries to children and about children that have been abducted, shot at school, missing, or found dead along some street, rural street, or even in a city. This is becoming more common if we listen to these folks. However, there are certain things and responses that parents, grandparents, or the guardians can do to protect their children, and I hope you listen carefully to this today. Rearing children is not an easy task. It's important that we as adults do everything we can to protect the youth of the day. It doesn't make a difference whether your kids or their kids are 2 years old or 47 years old. They're your children. I personally still think of my grown adult sons as my children, It hurts when they hurt or their life is in that people. You know, I can't imagine the loss of losing a young child to an accident, a shooting, a criminal event, or anything, as a matter of fact. For that reason, this week's show is concerning the young and what we can do as a society, parents and the police, to protect the young people together. I want you to take a few minutes to consider each of the following situations in protecting the young people of today. A lost child is a scared child, and usually their first instinct is to begin searching for their family. Take a few moments, train your kids to stop and sit as soon as they realize they're lost. Assure them that no matter how scared they might be, you're searching for them at the very moment that they're lost. But also that if they keep moving around, it's going to take longer to find them. It's going to take longer to locate them. Consider equipping your kids with an inexpensive cell phone and when venturing outdoors. Teach them a survival, even at a young age. Teach them something about survival. Have them have a backpack with some snacks, water, maybe some matches in it. I know we don't think of our young people want matches, but I'm telling you, we need some things to teach our young people. You know, teach them to survive the real world early in their ages. Items such as a whistle, a bright, something that's really bright, a bandana, a bottle of water again, a flashlight, things like that your kids should have with you if you ever go out in the woods hunting, fishing, or anything. Usually the best strategy is not to answer the door also when you have kids alone. And I know I'm kind of switching quickly, but I've got a lot to say today. Many of our kids do stay home. They have to stay home by themselves. Yes, the person knocking at the door could be a burglar scooping up in the neighborhood, but more than likely it's not. But once the door is open, it's much easier for that intruder to enter your home. Teach your kids not to open the door for anybody if they're home by themselves. Not for a UPS man, not for anyone. Train your children to enforce home security as well. They need to keep their doors locked, windows locked, and blinds and curtains closed when they're home by themselves. Noise from a TV or a radio is great. Someone with some kind of questionable motives will think twice about entering a home if they hear noises inside, even if the house is closed up and no one answers the door. We all know that, and I've talked about this in the past, that most burglaries takes place during the daytime hours. So if you keep your house appearance of somebody being there, the likelihood of your kids being walked in on are minimized. You know, from a young age, kids can learn how to dial 911 and report emergency, but this takes practice. Sit down with your kids and teach them about 911. Tell them not to dial it unless they are in need of it, but if they are in need of it, to not hesitate to call. Spend time rehearsing what to say on the phone with your kids. Rearing a kid is not just about teaching them how to drive, about teaching them how to do whatever. It's also about how to survive in today's world. That is utmost to the parents of today. If possible, your kids should also get the home-ready survival kit. And what I mean by that is have something for them to do when they get home in the afternoons if they have to stay by themselves. We used to refer to these kids as latchkey kids. That's the word that's many times overused and not a good word. But we all know that it takes two incomes in most situations now for people to make it. Teach your kids how to do and what to do at home. Teach them about how to cook if they need to cook. Teach them to stay away from fires. Teach them to use the microwave and understand the microwave is going to be hot. Also, teach them to not let people, friends, in and out of their house. You know, kids at a very early age, when they learn 911, they can also help you out. You know, we hear stories all the time in the public about how mom or dad or grandma or grandpa have fallen out and they can't get up or they're not breathing. If you teach your kids how to use the 911 system, they're going to assist in saving your life or your parents' life, your grandparents' life. So teach them a little bit of that. Take the time. Take the time to do that. You know, from the age of 9 up, I know kids have gone through CPR courses, and they need to understand the reality of life. Now, let's go to driving. When driving in the car, for instance, ask your kids to describe a building or vehicle you just passed. Get them, teach them to start understanding how to recognize things. Teach them to pay attention on their way to get home and how to ask for directions if they need it. You know, it's a big funny thing. Us big, gruff men, we don't like to stop and ask directions. I know you get to hear that all the time. But, you know, teach your kids that it is okay. It is absolutely okay to ask directions on where to go and how to find your place in and out of the world. There are a lot of situations that put your kids into some really serious, serious things. You know, teach them what those dangerous situations are. Here in Texas, we have flash floods. Teach them about flash floods. You know, this skill can help your kid avoid many dangerous situations. The concept here, folks, is simply to make your children aware of the people and events around them. Let them know what is safe. Let them know what you think is safe. Parents can help their children become more observant and aware, not by scaring them, but by playing games to teach and practice them. How many of you used to play the license plate game when you were traveling with your folks years ago? Doesn't happen anymore. Teach them that. Teach them how to play the license plate game. Teach them to recognize cars, colors, types of vehicles. Now, when you're driving in that car, also ask your kids to start looking at people. Be conscious. Unfortunately, what happens is nowadays, most of our kids have got their heads stuck in a cotton-picking cell phone or an Xbox or something like that when they're driving, and they don't have no clue where they're around. You know, I've done some pretty serious looking into this over the last few years, and it scares me to death, absolutely to death, as a parent, grandparent, as a stepdad, knowing that there are kids out there that have no clue how to go from A to B in their own town. But they don't know how to go more than a block away from their house. What if they get lost? Tell them how to get lost. How to get or they don't know how to get lost. Tell them how to be found. Tell them what to do. Teach them how to be aware of their surroundings to avoid predatory people. You know, we know who the bad people are as adults. We know what areas not to go in. And if that's profiling, so be it. But we teach our kids to stay out of certain areas. It's simple to teach, fun to practice, and it's quite possibly a lifesaver to play games with them to teach them things such as this. I want to also take a few moments today, and here's the part that probably is going to get me in trouble a little bit, but that's okay. To wind this down today, I want to take a few moments and comment on the situation in Florida and the hue and cry to disarm America. I also want to talk about these factions, not the individual people, but the entities, political groups, or whatever you call them, who think banning guns will stop the violence. Folks, I spent 44 years in law enforcement. Illegal drugs were banned a lot more than 44 years ago, and illegal drugs have been around forever, and they're not any less than they were 44 years ago. They're probably more with the advent of the cartels, with the drugs coming across our borders. Banning guns is not going to stop the violence. I'm telling you right now. You know, it's simply the answer is banning guns is absolutely not going to do a thing. And anybody who thinks it is, I've got some land about 40 miles south of Havana, I'll sell you. You know, how can we as a country ban guns when we can't even keep illegal people out of our borders? We can't even protect our borders. You know, the aftermath of this past week's shooting in Florida, many Americans are hungry for some kind of action. You know, there's a recent bipartisan nationwide poll that confirmed that large majorities of Americans support a variety of innovative, common-sense reforms on guns. Don't have a problem with some reforms, but banning, no. While political people may lag behind in public opinion, it's time to demand safer, less violent communities and to embrace the smart laws that we have already in place. That is the key, folks. Make our communities safer. Make the streets safer. Make the kids feel like they were back in the 60s and maybe the 40s, where you could roam the streets, where you could be out on the street. You know, less violent communities is the key. You absolutely cannot pick up the telephone or the newspaper or anything that's got any kind of advertisements on it that you don't hear about crime in our local area. We have a town that's in western Bell County that is becoming one of the most unsafe communities in the entire United States. So how can we stop things by just say ban guns? You can't. Anyone who has common sense at all knows the country that was founded on the premise of call to arms during the Revolutionary War understands that in 247 years since 1976, there's been people that have been trying to slay the Second Amendment. Now, with that being said, there are a few things that I have to agree with that need to be changed. First, I believe that we need a better way to determine the mental capabilities of a person who wants to buy a firearm. I don't know what that answer is. I'm not a mental health expert, but I think something needs to be done to determine mental capabilities. Do I know what that process is? I just said I don't. Secondly, in most of these situations, the shooter had been reported to some agency that a fear existed. Now think about that. Shame on those agencies who don't take this information as serious. Shame on those police officers who don't take information they receive as serious enough to pass it on. Schools also need to understand that if total violence is to be eradicated, is going to have to bring about a change in school policies. Maybe that means decreasing an athletic budget by $50,000 a year and putting a full-time police officer in a school. Better yet, as allowed by Texas law, the school districts should implement their own police force. Bryan, Waco, Killeen, Austin, even smaller school districts have implemented a full-time police department within their schools. Each junior high and high school campus has an armed police officer present. Will this stop all the attacks? No, but it sure will make the playing field a lot more level. Oh, and while I'm talking about this, if the information comes to light that the Florida deputies waiting outside the school for fear and for backup before they went in, absolutely shame on them. May they never wear a badge again. Anyone with any integrity at all knows the first thing is to approach and confront. You're taught that, that's drilled in your head in an active shooter situation. Sure, absolutely, there's likelihood that the officer is going to lose his life. But you know what? That's what we swore an oath to do as police officers, to protect and defend. At least die with honor, I say. You know, schools have to accept the fact that it's not Mayberry anymore. The time is to step up, guard up, and look into what happened, not what has happened. What can we do to prevent it in the future? And like I said, I know that that's going to probably ruffle some feathers, and I'm sorry if that ruffles your feathers. But we spend a lot of money in this country for a lot of things. On our kids, new uniforms every year, or new buses every year. That's great. We got to have them. But you're going to have to start thinking about security. You know, Europe and a lot of Europe has had these things in effect for many, many years. You go into an airport in Europe, you're going to see an armed police officer with an AR-15, some kind of assault weapon that they have. You know, and in our country, if we see those, we are starting to think, oh, man, ooh, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? We must be under attack. No, it's preventative. You got to prevent. You got to look to the future. You got to think about the future. What's going to happen? What's the legacy we're going to leave for our kids? Are we going to leave a legacy that's going to say it's okay to go into a school and shoot it up? I hope not, and I pray not. And I leave you today with this one thought by Lewis Carroll. One of the deepest secrets in life is that all that is really worth doing is what we do for others. So don't forget that today. Have a great week, everybody. Can't wait to see you next Saturday on the radio, and be safe out there.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com.
Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron prides themselves on service, resourcefulness, knowledge of the law, and attention to detail. So if you or a loved one has been injured by someone else's negligence, they can help. Call 888-637-6347 for help today from Capolino Dodd Krebs Law Firm. Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm will work as hard for your family as you do. Call 800-460-0606 for Capilino Dodd Krebs.
Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775.
Arch Coons, the owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program, February 24th, 2018. We got about 40 minutes left, and right now we're in our product spotlight segment, sponsored by ANC Firearms and Heidenhammer. Ladies and gentlemen, like I've always said, I've known Arch for a long time, the owner of ANC Firearms. The guy's great. He's got an awesome staff. Clint, Dennis, Mike, they're all great guys, want to help you out all the time. They've got a wide selection of pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammunition, accessories. If they don't have it, they'll find it for you. They can get it. Great guys. The number is 254-983-4417. And he's sponsoring this segment now. And we're going to be going over, and he has this on the shelf now. We're having a big discussion on Facebook about this gun, who's going to get it first. But I'm getting this review from uscarry.com. And I, like I usually do, I like to get other people's opinions to see, one, if they match with mine, or two, if they've got something to say that I didn't think about, which is usually the case most of the time. And so I've got this long article that I'm chopped up just to get the meat out of it. And let me read it, and I'll make a few comments after that. But the Glock 19X. You're all familiar with the Glock 19, but this is the 19X crossover 9mm pistol. This is by Ben Finley. The new Glock 19X, the G19X is what they call it, crossover, is a hybrid, mostly Generation 5 combination of a Glock 19 slide and a Glock 17 frame. The G19X uniquely matched the U.S. Army's criteria for the modular handgun system, the MHS, competition with one pistol, and is now being offered to the civilian market. The military test version required a manual thumb safety, while the civilian version does not have one, just like all the other ones. Why did Glock make the G19X hybrid crossover? Several have asked me why a combination of the G19 and G17 is necessary. Many are wondering out loud, what is the purpose for this hybrid gun? Generally, I believe the genesis for this new blend is to make one gun accomplish a lot of roles and have the advantages of a full-size Glock 17's grip length for better control and the 17-round magazine capacity. This combines the improved accuracy, shorter barrel, and slide for possible concealed carry and handling of the Generation 5 G19. Now, here's some criteria and considerations for the Glock G19. This is from the author here. Here are just 10 of my criteria and factors I use for evaluating any handgun, so I will use them for the G19X. But before I do that, I want to give you a quick rundown of the specifications. The barrel length and finish is 4.02 inches. It's a marksmanship barrel with improved polygonal rifling and target crown, hard diamond-like carbon finish, and black. Sight radius, Glock night sights, 3-dot meprolite. Actually, the one he's doing has got this extra stuff, so I'll give you the basics. The weight is 24.83 ounces empty. The mag and the finish have a coyote tan color. The trigger is striker file double action only, which he made a mistake here. It's not double action only. It's a single action. Trigger travel short and quick. Magazine capacity. It's got the three 10 mags, one 17-round mag, two 19-round double stacks. The height is 5.47 inches. The width is 1.3 inches. Overall length, 7.44 inches. Okay, so those are the basic deals here. Now, let's get back into the criteria. From my perspective and thoughts, there is no doubt that this gun was not intended to be a concealed carry gun. I kind of question that because I could carry a gun like that concealed. Not that it couldn't be concealed, be a concealed carry gun for certain folks, just like I said. But rather, it was designed to be a combat tactical duty gun for military and law enforcement, which can be used by civilians for home defense and fun range plinking. Even Glock Vice President Josh Dorsey says the 19X was developed for the military and is a practical everyday pistol that will do what is needed to do when you need it to, every time, in every condition. And I can't argue with that. The Glock is the AK of the pistol world, in my opinion. So you decide for yourself. When I first handled this hybrid gun, I was impressed by the way it felt so good and solid in my hands. It was easy to shoot, and I can control it well. The longer, solid, and full-size G17 grip and frame size helped me help my felt recoil and muzzle flip. The Glock G19X pistol has the capacity and more. The G19X three mags hold 17 and 19 rounds. Yes, two of those beautiful tan extended mags hold 19 rounds each. I like the magazine release button, that it's enlarged for easy and quick operation. There is a Picatinny rail, so you can put a laser on it or a light on it, preferably. The Glock G19 range test results for each of my 10 criteria. Number one was accuracy and reliability. He scored it as a 9. The accuracy of the G19X in frigid Florida 50-degree cold weather. Yeah, that's frigid, all right. January testing was very acceptable for me at distances of 3, 5, 7, 10, and 15 yards. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, I always make this comment when I get this accuracy test. Some people shoot a gun, and they're not as good a shooter as somebody else. So somebody could probably get better results, maybe, if they're a little bit more adept with the handgun. Two, trigger press. They scored a 9. The trigger press averaged 7 pounds, so that's a little bit more than I like, but it's still good for a combat weapon. The trigger scored a 10. The trigger had very little creep and grittiness. Grittiness is key with me. I do not like a gritty trigger. I like a little creep because it makes me think before I pull the trigger, but the grittiness I don't like, so it doesn't have any of that. The barrel length scored a 9. The improved 4.2 inch Gen 5 Glock Marksman barrel with the crossover 25 ounce unloaded weight of 5.94 inches sight radius were welcomed enhancements for accuracy. 6. Proper gun weight scores a 9. The overall 25 ounces unloaded weight was nice, and it felt good in the hand. So that's a pretty good weight for a gun like that. It's not too overbearing. Caliber scores a 9. Without a doubt, it's a quality gun and is easy, comfortable, and natural to shoot in the 9mm caliber. Ergonomics scores a 9. Overall, the ergonomics of the G19 crossover hybrid was very good. The other thing I noticed on the gun, and he makes a comment about, is there's no finger grips on the gun. Some people's hands on the other Glocks with finger grips don't perfectly match up with the finger grips. And some people liked it with a smooth grip as compared to that. So this gun does not have those grips. And 10 miscellaneous scores a 9. As always, before shooting a new gun, I disassembled it, lubed it, cleaned it, blah, blah, blah. I liked that it was very easy and quick to take apart, just like any other Glock pistol. I certainly recommend this G19 crossover hybrid pistol for the consideration as a home defense gun, fun range gun, all-purpose gun, and for some carry gun. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something about who is that? It's freaking me out here. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, the Glock 19X is, I equal it to a 1911 Commander. The 1911 is an incredible firearm. It's the basic one, the GI version is a 5-inch barrel. The officer is about a 3.5-inch barrel. The commander is anywhere from a 4 to 4.25-inch barrel. But that the nice thing about the Commander 1911 is it's got a full-size grip. And you can just, you know, full capacity. If you've got large hands, you can handle it. That's the same thing with this Glock 19X. You don't want the length of the nose on the barrel, but you do want the grip size to be full if you got a large hand, whereas that Glock 19 by itself, sometimes my pinky finger would be underneath it, and you just have to compensate. But with the Glock 17 frame, the full-size frame, my hand fits on it great for a person with a large hand. And the barrel length is great because if I did want to wear it in the front in my waistband, it doesn't dig into my thigh because of that lack of a 1 inch on the barrel. So it's just a perfect sized gun. It looks nice. Its dimensions are perfect. When you look at it, its symmetry is great. Nice looking gun, great price. ANC Firearms, the sponsor of this segment out in Heidenhammer, has one on the shelf right now. They got more coming in. Give them a call. And I know there's a list. If you check out the Facebook page, you'll see a little competition going on there who's going to get it first. But if you go to ANC Firearms, they'll square you away. If they don't have it, they'll get you another one. Give them a call at 254-983-4417. Tell them you heard it here on the radio. You want to support them and buy your Glock 19X or anything else out at ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer. Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have our in-house legal immigrant, Zoltan Varga. We're going to be talking about snipers and the Mosin rifle. See you on the other side.
The owner of ANC Firearms in Heidenhammer, Texas, is an avid gun enthusiast and enjoys helping all of his customers to find the gun that's perfect for them. With a large selection of pistols, rifles, and shotguns, finding the right gun becomes easy. Go to ANC Firearms, located at 5819 U.S. Highway 190 in Heidenhammer, or call them 254-983-4417. Pistols, rifles, shotguns, ammo, knives, and a whole lot more. ANC Firearms, 254-983-4417.
Power. Sometimes you just need more. But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron's Heat Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and Zero Turn Big Dog Bolts. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capilino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-SO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. AaronsGunshop.com. Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Program. We play that in honor of Zoltan Varga, our legal immigrant here, the immigrant song from Led Zeppelin. That's an awesome song. And we got an awesome gentleman right here. Zoli, how's it going? Welcome to the show, buddy.
Doing good. How are you?
Good. It's been a while since you've been on. I'm so glad. You know what spurred me to get you on? I asked a trivia question, and you were talking about, help me here, the 300, the Movan Lavi quote. And I was reading it on the Facebook page. You did it in such a sexy manner. I was like, whoa, that's great information. I wanted to get you on. And we had just talked about the Mosin Nagant rifle a few weeks ago. And I wanted to ask you if you talk about the Mosin Nagant rifle in a sniper application. And there's a few people you want to talk about. So we got you on. So welcome to the show. Take it away. I'll ask questions if I got to. And everybody, feel free to give us a call at 254-697-6633 if you want to make a comment or say hi to Zoli or whoever. And we'll take it from there. So Zoli, hit it.
Well, I prepared myself with three big names, but first of all, I really wanted to talk about how the Russians used their snipers in the Second World War.
Yes.
And most of the snipers, what we call snipers, they were like more designated marksmen, because in every platoon they had one person with a Mosin Nagant with a telescope on it who was like the best shot of the platoon, and his most important task was to pin down the enemy in offense or defense. But in every infantry regiment, they had the reconnaissance element, mm-hmm. and they had a designated sniper squad or sniper platoon. And they were these highly trained individuals or teams, who was trained in schools. Sometimes in at the front line, like in Stalingrad, they set up the sniper school in a chemical factory.
Stalingrad, that was a battle in itself, man. Can I pause you for a second, though? Yeah. And if I put you on the spot, let me know. But if you have a sniper in a platoon, keeping the enemy at bay, how does he do that? Out of fear that you pop your head up, you're going to get your head shot? Is that how he does it?
Well, there's a saying, what I read when I read about snipers years ago, is In an army, in the war, a sniper is a long knife in the enemy's heart. For police and law enforcement, it's like more than a sculpture for a surgeon.
Yes, okay.
Technically, the Russian doctrines was more to put fear and put out the enemy's comfort to reduce their freedom of movement. Just never know where are the snipers were operating, which zone or which part of the front, and
would it be equivalent to, like, killed? I've heard the story where the third person is the one always in danger, so nobody ever wanted to be in the third position.
Yeah,
but somebody's got to be in the third position, so it's a mental war game that they're playing. Psychological,
basically, yes. Yeah. If you're thinking about an urban warfare like in Stalingrad, and that's the first name, everybody saw enemies at the gates.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
The Vasily Zaitsev. They technically operated like they can be anytime, anywhere, and nobody is safe from them. Like, it can be just an officer in command, or it can be a guy who is pulling a telephone wire for communications, everybody needs to be feared, and that's reduced the freedom of movement there.
That's right.
And options of maneuver.
It's amazing what one man can do, right? Or one woman, actually.
Yeah. Well, that film actually is really, really inaccurate by history. The most accurate thing in that film is the name.
Okay.
Because Zaitsev was a 35 years old guy from the Ural Mountains who was in a technical school before he went in the army. And in the movie, we can see an analphabet, narcissistic teenager who was crying over everything.
But basically, is the aspect of him being out there in the location that he lived, hunting, is that a true aspect that could have enhanced his ability to shoot the weapon?
He lost his parents when he was 4 years old, and he lived with his grandparents. He raised him, and they were hunting for a living.
Okay, so you become accurate when you hunt like that.
They had to be accurate because the ammunition was so expensive back in that time. Mm. And as you mentioned, women, snipers, during the Second World War, Soviet Union trained more than 2,000 women snipers.
Two or three?
2,000.
2,000, okay.
And one of the most famous of them, her name was Ludmila Pavlichenko, who was actually here in the U.S. in 1942.
Is that the action figure I got in the shop? Is that the same
one?
Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And she became really good friends with Eleanor Roosevelt. And actually, the U.S. was in war in 1942, September. He's already jumped in the war, and the Soviet Union wanted to make the U.S. to open up a second front against Germany because they got so much pressure. And they sent a couple delegations here who was traveling all around the country. And one of this member of this delegation was Ludmila Pavlichenko. And she was like, what's the good word, disappointed about the Americans. Like, all the women were asking about what kind, where does she get her skirts and what kind of nail polish she uses in the front and lipsticks and stuff like that. And she was like,
I'm more worried about bullet weight and powder charge.
And she was so disappointed, and she was invited actually to the White House and lived there during her tour by Eleanor Roosevelt. And I think in Chicago, she finally got a little fed up with the journalists and everybody, and she made a speech in front of over 2,000 people. And
is that recorded somewhere?
Yes, you can find it on YouTube.
Oh, interesting. I want to check that out.
And technically, she just said one sentence in her whole speech. They give him like pages to speak about, open up the second front and everything. And she just got fed up, put down the paper and said, I'm 25 years old. I was injured 4 times in combat and I killed 306 Nazis. Stop hiding behind my back.
Wow.
And the whole crowd was just outraged.
Screw it. That's incredible, man. It's amazing the different attitudes based on your experiences in life, you know? I think this country is ignorant to a lot of things because we live in such... In regards to most of the other the rest of the world, we live in such easy living conditions that people don't realize what it takes to survive sometimes. We got a call? Well, great. Who we got on the line? This is Matt, and who are you? And this is the High Cap Adventure Radio Program.
Hey, Matt. This is Mark Boyer.
Hey, listen,
I had a question for Zoltan, since he and I were in Afghanistan about the same time.
You got volume?
And we saw the Chechen snipers. They used the nice in the gun. I was just wondering if you could extrapolate a little bit as to why that weapon is so good. It's been around for so long. Is it because of the mechanical features, or it's just simplicity? What is it about that weapon that everybody loves and it hasn't changed since, you know, it first came out?
Well, let me make my first comment first from what I read. The ammunition, or the round itself, is an excellent round from what I've read based on ballistics. The weapon, like I discussed a couple weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, was a beautiful blend of metal and wood put into a rifle that was meant to be for a peasant, simple to use, and it always works. So, Zoli, based on his question, with your in-depth experience and knowledge, what do you think?
Well, also, over than that ammunition round, the 7.62 54R, is still active in most of the time military, because all the Russian like heavy automatic firearms, like the PKM machine guns, SVDs, using the same round and ammunition. Also, they produce more than 18 million of that rifle. So technically, it's easy to find, especially areas like in Afghanistan or in Africa, where in these hot zones, it can be found because it's cheap and easy
and to the use. The length of the 9130, the Mosin Nagant 9130, takes full advantage of the powder burn. So you're getting maximum velocity. It's reaching out there. I mean, it's got a 1,000-meter adjustable rear sight. So it goes out there quite a ways, and it leaves you quite a punch, too.
Yeah, like in the Soviet, Second World War sniper schools came out with this. They tested every rifle in the factory before they give it to the troops. And they have certain criteria, what rifles were handpicked out from the lot to put a PU scope on it and use it for a sniper and give them to the snipers. An average sniper could hit a human-sized target from 800 yards, 800 meters, about 50% of chance. In 100 yards or 100 meters, it was 99%. So it's a very accurate rifle by its own. And also, the last name I wanted to mention is the most lethal firearm, most lethal sniper of all the time. His name was Shimohaya, and he was a Finnish.
Finnish, yeah.
He fought against the Russians in 1939, and he scored 505 confirmed kills in only 45 days.
That's a lot of bodies, man. And we were just discussing, how does that happen? How can you do that in that short a period of time, under what conditions?
Well, basically, the Russian military in that time was more the infantry supported by armored. But the Finnish terrain and the Finnish environment was more woods, and most of the people of the Finnish army, as conscript soldiers, most of their time they spent out from their childhood in the woods.
In the woods, yeah.
They were hunters, they were trappers.
It's just like back here in this country in the revolutionary times, you had the British come in wave upon wave in their red jackets, but we're taking Indian tactics, guerrilla warfare, basically.
Yes, and the Finnish soldiers were like going on skis everywhere. And
quick movement?
Quick movement. They had the white coats to camouflage themselves.
Yes, sir.
Against the Russian, who were green and they were like bright in the snow.
Right.
And they also set up these little sniper's nests. Sometimes they did, when one sniper hit on a platoon, they set it up like four or five sniper's nests behind each other. And they shoot from the first.
Who's this, the Russians?
Or no, the Swedes? The Finnish,
okay.
They shoot one or two members from the first, and while the platoon figure out what to do and how to engage the first sniper nest, they just went back to the second one.
Right.
And when they are engaged the first sniper nest, they shoot another two or three. And they just went back. And then they just disappeared because they were on skis or these, how you call that?
Snowshoes?
Snowshoes. But the Russians were just in boots. And if there's a 2 foot deep snow...
Yeah.
Good luck.
Mark and I, he just called up. We would do lots of training together, and we would always make this comment. It's amazing what two people can do to a mass amount of people. You cannot get what you cannot see. And if you can't see it, those two, those three, or that one can cause a lot of freaking damage. And you just know how to implement the damage. So it's amazing what a sniper can do. What else can you tell us, Zoli?
What are you curious about?
They picked that particular rifle one because they had so many of it. What was some of the? You said that some of the criteria for picking the rifle was if somebody could shoot that rifle at 100 meters, or at 100 meters with great accuracy. Was there any other thing that they looked at in the rifle?
No, technically, how they picked out these rifles is they put on a bench rest, and in the factory, and they the rifle had to be in 100 yards. It had to be in a 1 inch circle. In 400 yards, it cannot be more than 3 inches circle.
Yeah, it's amazing. In mass production, you would wonder why some rifles would be better than the others, you kind of think, isn't the ammo? Could the ammo be fluctuations in the powders and the bullet weights?
Not really. It can be the rifling or how Ivan get up in that day, and it was the first hour produce of his right. shift or the second
Friday gun or something.
Friday gun.
What about oh God, I just lost my train of thought. We're talking about the gun there. Oh, what about the laminated stocks versus hex receivers? Did that have anything to do with it? Or is it just the way they made it because they had more time to produce it in a much higher quality, and once it was really going, they had to produce them faster?
Well, during the Second World War, when the Germans went offense and started to go in the Soviet Union, all the Soviet Union factories, they just tear it down and brought away on trains and trucks behind the mountains of the Ural. And they set it up again.
Zoli, we got another call. Welcome to the show. This is Matt. Who are you?
This is Albert.
Albert, how you doing? Thanks for calling the show. What can I do for you, buddy?
I was wanting to see how the Romanian Romac 3, the PSL, does on a hunting or a sniping platform. You know, how is that rate?
Well, we got somebody who's just waiting to tell you.
Well, the Romanian PSL.
Awesome.
The Romanian PSL is like a kind of hybrid rifle between the SVD and the AK, because the SVD using the short stroke gas tube system and the AK has the full recoil gas tube system. So for sniping, it's not really good, but for hunting up to like 300 yards, it's pretty can work.
And if Zoli said that's what it is, trust me, brother, that's what it is. Zoli, why don't you tell everybody what your history is real quick so they have an idea of where all this knowledge is coming from, because that's important for people to know.
Well, I was born and raised in Hungary, and I served in the Hungarian Defense Forces for 13 years, and 9 years out of that, I was in the Special Forces.
Okay, so you got to handle so many different types of guns under different conditions and environments and actually applied them into use, and you know what works and what doesn't work. So that's not only because you're a friend, but that's why we get you on here, because you're a plethora of information. Now, I've got probably a minute or less. You want to just recap anything and just say something good about that gun, or go out and buy it? Because I tell you, man, you can get yourself a nice 9130 for, depending on what it is, for under 400 or under, probably, unless it's in really good condition. I remember in Zola, you could buy those for $69 a piece. I had the opportunity to buy them by the case lots for like, I don't know, $300. I want to shoot myself in the head for not getting cases of those things. They're beautiful weapons. Did you ever own one? Did you ever shoot them?
No.
A lot?
We shoot one. As Mark said and mentioned before, we recovered a couple of one in Afghanistan. And, of course, we had to try it out because why not? And it's always fun to shoot. It's something new.
It's a very slick bolt, too. That bolt action on that thing is very slick.
Yes. And also, because of the Russian standards back in the time, they had to make all the rifles and all the weapons with very tough, and they using the chrome linings in the barrel and the full chrome actions.
Right.
So they are technically undestroyable.
Awesome rifle. If you can find yourself on, go to ANC Firearms. They can get you. They sold a couple just recently. They can order you some more, but they're great rifles. They've got the Mosin 9130. That was the first one. Then they came out with the 38. That was more for, I don't know, back then the officers or special units. But the 9130 had a detachable bayonet. The Model 38 did not come with a bayonet. And the one after that was the Model 44. It was a combination of the two. It was the size of a 38. However, it had a swing-open bayonet attached to the rifle, so you didn't have to worry about losing it. And I'll tell you, it'll go through a pig pretty easy. Pretty easy. All right, Zoli, we're going to wrap it up here. I can't thank you enough for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, give us a call here, 254-697-6633. Go to Facebook on aaronsgunshop.com. Give us an email at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com. Make some comments, post. We'll be posting this video probably by Tuesday. Make sure you like it, spread the word, and share it with everybody. Trey, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to have the awesome Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy out of Rockdale. Be on the other side.
Power. Sometimes you just need more.
But what do you do when that yard equipment needs more or just isn't working like it used to? The answer is Cameron's Fall Engine, formerly Cameron Seed Company, where friendly service and quantity work stop at 408 West Bath. They provide all your outdoor power equipment needs. Check out their selection of Echo, Snapper, and zero-turn big dog bolts. Power through the summer with Cameron's Fall Engine. Call 254-697-3452 or stop in at 408 West Bath.
Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm focuses on cases involving asbestos exposure, mesothelioma, birth trauma, defective products, and injury and death resulting from car and truck wrecks. Call the tough, experienced injury attorneys at Capellino Dodd Krebs Law Firm in Cameron. Call 888-MESO-FIRM or 254-697-4965.
Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures. If you've decided to carry a handgun for self-defense, you better know what you're doing. If you don't, you better learn fast. Not only fast, but thoroughly. Aaron's Gun Shop and High Cap Adventures fills the void between a Johnny wannabe and a person who has been properly trained in the proper handling and use of a firearm. Call me, Matt Bitros, at 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com and set up a class or seminar to get you started on the road to proficiency with a firearm for self-defense. Go to our website, aaronsgunshop.com, and review the High Cap Adventures page. We have seminars to cover most forms of firearms training. Call 254-697-4721 or email me at aaronsgunshop@gmail.com to get more information on how to get started with your training. The time for games is over. Reality starts now. aaronsgunshop.com. Central Texas Martial Arts of Rocktail offers martial arts classes Tuesdays and Thursdays between 5:30 p.m. and 7 p.m. in their 1,800 square foot facility, which is located in Rockdale at 973 Highway 77. Learn confidence and control with mind and body at the Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. Call or text Master Cindy Key at 254-721-2775 or just stop by. Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale, 254-721-2775. Welcome back, everybody, to the Aaron's High Cap Adventure Radio Program. We had an awesome segment with Zoltan Varga, our in-house legal immigrant. And now we're here with the awesome Master Cindy Key, owner of Central Texas Martial Arts Academy in Rockdale. And she's going to be here today doing and teaching us the press block, right?
Yes.
All right. Obviously, I'm subject or target practice. So, Ms. Key, use the mic. Tell them what you got. And we're going to have this on video probably by Tuesday.
Anyway, I like pressing blocks, and there's so many ways to use them. And a lot of times, if you're paying attention and, you know, you need to really have your hands kind of in your around your midsection anyway, your hands open. I like open hands better than punches, too, just because I can do more with an open hand. But that's where a pressing block starts.
Ms. Key, if you could describe a press block.
A pressing block is using the inside of your hand instead of closing it and using it in a punch position. So your hands are open. Like you could say, hey, don't hurt me, and your hands are up, or you're waving hello to somebody, and you're using the inside palm of your hand. So he comes to
come in the screen a little bit more. There you go.
Okay, if he comes like just to do a grab or a punch, I'm just going to, I'm on the inside, I don't have time to get to the outside, I'm just going to come here. If he throws the other hand, I use the backhand block. But here again, my hand's open, I have my palm facing his face, and I can use whichever attack I want. I can come in with a knife hand to the throat, I can come in with a strike to the throat with the inside web of my thumb and forefinger. I can come up with the heel palm. I can then attack his eyes. I can also just use a flat of my hand, smash on his nose.
That'll make your eyes water.
Yes, it will. It will make your eyes water. And then I can follow up with my elbow attacks. And if you'll notice, when I have my open hand, this is still a pressing block here, so that if he tries to pull his hand back, then I'm going to grab. I may not be strong enough to hold him all the way, but I'm going to be striking places for him to take his mind off of me grabbing him. And, I mean, he could still try to do stuff, but I'm going to come in here, and I'm going to strike something that's going to hurt really bad. And I really like striking eyes, because I don't care how big you are. If something's struck your eye or is pressing in your eye, you're going to react, and your hand, it's just automatic. He's going to want to take my hand away, which then this hand is, he might grab my hand. He might. Okay, that's all right. I still have my other hand. I still have a knee. I can come up with other strikes, but it all starts with this open hand. Hello, hey, man, please don't hurt me. Here's a block. I can punch if I choose to do that. I can come up here, and here's, I love the knee. I can do it to the groin. I can do it to the ends, right at his knee. If he bends over for me, then I have his face, and then I can really tear up the back of his shoulder, because I know he's hurt with his shoulder. He won't like me hitting that shoulder.
Ladies and gentlemen, some people made comments. They have to listen hard to when we talk about things verbally, and that's great. That's why we always have the video to follow up with it. So this is great stuff. Listen to it. Try to put it in your brain verbally, and then watch the video, and it all click. Okay, let's get a different angle, Ms. Key. Okay. I got a little bit of time. Let's do a different angle so they can see it on the video once again.
Okay.
I'm going to attack you.
Now, this time, I use my press and block and get to the outside of him, which is where I really like to be, because he cannot reach me as well, and I can block easier. There's the palm strike again. Ridge hand to his groin, and then elbow to the back of his neck. But I like...